Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you guys along. And happy mid-March. Very, very difficult to believe. The countdown is on, though, Ken. We are inside of 30 days of when you have to tell the IRS your story from last year. And that's one thing if there's anything I try to get across to people when it comes to annual tax planning, it's understanding that your tax return is a one-hit wonder, right? It's a one-hit wonder. And I don't think the IRS intentionally did this. I think they just recognized you can't pay your taxes at the end of the year because you got to wait for all of the docs to come in. But the fact that the year ends and it's another, 90, 105 days before you pay taxes, right, before you have to worry about the reporting, is just far enough away where you're already in the midst of battle for the following year, right? People are paying attention to 2019, and so you just kind of report your return. As I said in last week's show, we talked about the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Thank you, Albert Einstein, for that wonderful observation. So today, in this program, Ken, we are going to talk about to convert or not to convert. That's one of the biggest questions we get. That means in the world of Roth IRAs, should you convert your IRA to a Roth IRA? We are going to talk about the retirement budget and the importance of that budget in terms of how it works in your financial life. We're going to talk about our annual tax package review that we send out to everybody the first week in November so that you can start paying attention to some of these things before they happen. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about QCDs and RMDs. So a QCD is a qualified charitable distribution, and an RMD is a required minimum distribution that you have to take out of your tax-deferred accounts, whether they were yours or whether you inherited them. So we will deal with those things in terms of where we are. So that tax package review, if you want to get on our list for that, you can give us a shout out on our website at yourlifeafterwork.com. What you're looking for are things that are different in your life this year than are different in the past. So we talked in last week's show about bracket bumping and how to read your return. This time we're going to talk about what happened different this year to you, your parents if still living, or your adult-aged children. So stick around. We will get into the show, 800-928-4001. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, Joni Michaels here. We know you care about your money, but are you tired of worrying about it? The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people just like you who don't want to worry about their money. As fiduciaries, the team at the Financial Enhancement Group will care for your nest egg just like they would care for their own if they were in your situation. There are many decisions you'll need to make as you face retirement, and the team at the Financial Enhancement Group is here to help you. Call 800-928-4001 or go to yourlifeafterwork.com to set up a time to meet. The confusion and complexity of retirement is almost as daunting as is the excitement of retirement. Don't let your fear and frustration of taxes and investing derail your retirement. Call the Financial Enhancement Group at 800-928-4001. They'll give you a complimentary second opinion on your strategy for retirement. Begin your adventure in your life after work. Call 800-928-4001 or yourlifeafterwork.com. Now back to Consider This program with Joe Clark.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. And Ken, thank you for being here. The there are a lot of questions that ought to be asked that never get asked.
Like?
Well, one of them, I just happened to be talking about this with somebody else the other day, that I'm very frustrated with the 401k world so far this year. People start looking at their 401ks a little more intently. And somebody had a 401k that came in, and we had a conversation with their employer. And it's a 401k that only uses one family of mutual funds, which is very dangerous. If you're an employer and you hear me on this, if you've got an insurance product, an annuity wrapper that is due in your 401k, or if you've got one family of funds, I think you are at risk. But essentially what I asked the employer, this particular family of mutual funds, Ken, sued the employers. They had a class action suit where the employees got together. Not all of them, obviously, but they got together and sued the employer for making them only have one choice of funds to use.
Now, wow.
I understand.
Well, who chooses that, the employer or the employer. Administrator?
Well, the employer hires the administrator.
Gotcha.
Usually the administrator is somebody that's in the company, right?
Well,
that
yeah.
has that diligence.
Or hires the company
but
run
think,
it.
Think about this. So, you know, you're a mortgage lender, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think somebody would be irritated if you got your mortgage somewhere else?
Of course.
Yeah. That doesn't sound right, does it? Right. So here's this mutual fund company. We'll call it XYZ, right? And the mutual fund company has they're telling you, the sales guy, Ken, to go out and sell their 401ks, which only have their mutual funds in it, right? So now back at corporate, if they didn't have all of their money in the same thing they were asking their salespeople to sell, that would be kind of difficult.
Of course.
Right? But the people who work in the back end of the shop, the people who work at the mutual fund family, know this is bogus, right? Because they understand how the mutual fund industry works. They get the game and they're saying, hey, this is not right in any way, shape, or form. So just one of those things. One of the questions that I think ought to be asked every single time is, if you're recommending this to me, is your money in it too? Right? And it's one of the beliefs that I have at the Financial Enhancement Group. My money will never be invested in something that your money's not invested in. And that's one of the questions that you can, and I really think should ask when you're talking to a financial advisor. In this case, the question to ask is, should you convert or not convert? And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about Roth IRAs. Should you convert existing IRA money into a Roth account? So as with everything, this starts with your tax return. And I'll give you two basic observations. So Ken, a Roth conversion is always, always in your beneficiary's best interest. Okay? It's always in your beneficiary's best interest because that way they don't have to pay any tax.
Okay.
Right? It is not always in your best interest. Right?
Why is that?
Well, because you may be paying tax that you don't need to. You may be paying tax at a higher bracket than what you might in the future, right? You live in a world where you're a W-2 employee, so you've got some fixed income that comes in. You also got some bonus income that comes in based on what happens over the course mm-hmm. of the year. Your wife's got a variable business,
right?
So it is possible, actually even probable, that you might have years where you've got quite a bit of difference in taxable income from one year to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to do a Roth conversion for you when my income was down, right? So think of that old expression, make lemonade out of lemons, right? Nobody wants to make less income.
Right.
But when your income's down, now it's time to really think, okay, what do I do now to accelerate this, right? So if your income is down, you delay tax deductions, right? Because they're not as helpful for you this year. Again, that's if you're itemizing, not taking a standard deduction, right?
Right.
If I got in December, we do a lot of our charitable gifting in December. And if for some reason my income was going to be a lot lower in 2019, I would wait until January 1st to write those checks, hoping again that next year in 2020 that the income would go back up, right? But if we had a lot of capital expenses in 2018, building a new building, right, and putting in all of the technology and stuff that was here. So incomes can be variable. So you want to pay attention to that. And when you do the conversion, you are agreeing to pay taxes today. So I have never seen it make sense for you to convert where you had to take money out of the IRA to pay the taxes on the conversion, right? I've never seen it make sense. Now, one of the things that I see missed a lot is when I see parents who are in very low tax brackets, right? We don't talk a lot about, as people, we don't talk a lot to our parents about their incomes, right? And we should, and we should talk to our kids about them, about the investment strategy so they understand. But let's say you owned a business, you do, and it's doing real well, and your dad's retired. He's got his IRA money that's sitting around. He's not taking it because nobody wants to take money out of their accounts, right? He's not taking it. It's sitting inside of a 401k or sitting inside of an IRA. But his current tax bracket's at the 12% bracket. And yours is not, right? Your bracket's not going to be at the 12% bracket, or at least you don't want it in the 12% bracket, right? And you're the only beneficiary. And one of the plans that we recommend a lot is actually taking money out of your account and paying the taxes for your dad at 12%, because you're going to be the one that inherits the money, right? Remember that annual mm-hmm. gift that you can do, right? Up to $30,000. And if mom is still around, now it's 60. That's assuming that you're married filing jointly. So there's two of you and your mom and dad are both alive. You can give them a 60, right? Pay the taxes. If you don't need the IRA money, you can essentially make a gift to your kids and let your kids do the same thing to grandma and grandpa and have them become the beneficiaries of the Roth IRAs, right? We have to think more than one generation when we're talking about really good planning tactics and things that affect your life. I talked in the last week's show about silo planning, where people make one-off decisions. And what you really want to be able to do, Ken, is to think about this in totality. So do you convert or don't you convert? You do convert when you're in a lower tax bracket today than you or your beneficiaries will be in tomorrow. You do convert only when you have the money to be able to pay the taxes, right? You especially convert if you happen to be in a 0% bracket. So I had a lady that I took care of in the early 2000s who didn't bring in her tax return because she did her own taxes, and I was in a CPA firm, and she thought I was going to make the CPAs do her return. She didn't want that. So finally, around 2006, 2007, I get a hold of her return, and she is paying zero in taxes. Zero. She's living on Social Security. And I've got over $1 million in a 403B account. And she's paying zero in taxes with three kids that are all at the higher end of tax brackets. So every year, we now take enough money out of her IRA where she doesn't have to recognize any more than the 10% tax. But up to that lowest bracket, we take that amount of money out of her IRA every year. That means she has to spend it. We take that money, we move it over to another account, but we're able to maximize the situation for her and her beneficiaries. That is a time that you would always probably want to convert. Again, assuming you have the taxes. But don't think about the kids helping the parents' strategy out, because that's money that's just overlooked, you know, especially when you start helping them with their financial stuff as they get older, if you need to. Hey, you got a question or comment? Shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com, 800-928-4001. We're here to help. We are fiduciaries and would happy to help you. Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Ken, happy to have you along. So, Ken.
Yes, sir.
Do you and your lovely bride have a budget?
No, we don't. Never really sat down and created one for us.
That's because you started out having more money than month.
Yeah, true.
I did not have more money than month. And the last budget I did, it was just so depressing. You know, it's like, okay, we either have no electricity after the third Tuesday of the month. You know, it's interesting starting a business, folks. If you've never done it, it is the greatest days and the darkest days, from a financial perspective of my entire life, was building this company. And so I don't have a budget. And so some people will say, Joe, buddy, I know you don't have a budget. You say you don't have a budget. So why in the world do I have to have a retirement budget? And here's why. First of all, you have spent 30, 40, 50 years of your life piling money into an account that you refer to as your retirement account. It's an IRA, it's a 401k, whatever. And you can have the normal questions that everybody else does. How much can I take out? How's it taxed? How do I know I won't run out? What do I do about this? What do I do about that? Those questions are very, very typical that we get. Here's what I know that's happened in your life, and it happens for different people at different ages and different stages. You know, minds are different. But what happens when you're young is you start saving for retirement under the theory that at some point in time in life, you're going to have a better retirement because you sacrifice today, right? Every dollar you save, every dollar that you save today is a decision not to do something else today, right? Whether it's buy a boat, a Harley Davidson, go to Disney, right? You know, whatever it is that floats your boat, you know, so to speak. So eventually the statements continue to grow. The numbers get bigger. Your kids grow up. They leave the house. And the statement comes and it finally hits a magical number. Now, for some people, that may be $100,000. For some people, it may be $500,000. For some people, it's $1 million. You know, for some people, it's more. But it hits a number. And the statement actually takes on a life of itself. And I kid people and tell them they would invite it to Thanksgiving if they could, right? Because, I mean, it's an emotional attachment when you see that amount of money. Now, all of a sudden, you get to this stage of retirement, which we call distribution, right? So when your 401k is going from a defined contribution plan to a defined distribution plan, and that's where you can either you can take your 401k and you can design your own exit, or you can wait for the IRS to force your hand at 70 and a half, or you can die and leave it up to your heirs. But the money is coming out of the plan. You will have an exit, and the defined contribution will be a defined distribution. So you've got a lot of things against you. You've got this account that you've been shoveling as much money into as you can for as many years as you can remember, right? It's hit a number that you like and probably then some, and you just don't want to pay the taxes on it. And now all of a sudden I tell you that you can take money out. In fact, Ken, I look at people every day and tell them you should take money out. And it just doesn't feel natural and it just doesn't feel right. And it's very, very difficult for people to do it. So one of the solutions that that we came up with and helped people with is understanding the retirement budget. So anywhere you look online, first, and I'm allowed to say this because I was a professor at Purdue for 7 years where I taught financial planning while still running the company. I was an adjunct. So I've got 31 years experience in the financial services world. I'm a certified financial planner, so I'm industry trained. And I'm an academic, so to speak, in terms of some of the stuff that I did at Purdue. So when you see academic research that's being done, if you read the fine print, it's generally not talking about you listening to this show. It's talking about the very middle average income people in the country. And one of the things that you will see written by academics is that you need 70% of your income to be able to retire. Ken, true or false?
False.
Why is it false?
No idea. Lucky guess.
You need 100% of your standard of living.
Correct.
Right? You do not need any percent of your income. It's 100% of your standard of living. Right? Critical to understand the difference. So if you are a really good saver and you're living on 40% of your money and that's what it takes to maintain your standard of living when you retire, then that's what has to be replaced. Okay? So that's one part of it. The second part, when you go online, it says 70%. The second thing that I was taught industry-wise as a CFP is that I'm supposed to take your amount of money that you need. Let's say that it's $5,000 a month. And then I'm supposed to project out into the future your life expectancy. We always add 5 years because that gets us to about the 96th percentile. And what I found is most of the people that I take care of weren't at bars at 3 o'clock last night or this morning, whatever you want to put it at, right? We tend to have had better health care and more access to some of the finer things in life. So we take it out and then we're supposed to add an inflation rate to it. And so when I started 31 years ago, because I was a good pupil and did what I was told by my elders, today I have a bunch of 90-year-old people, high 80s, with a whole lot of money that are left in accounts and not a lot of life in order to enjoy. And we decided that that was buckus. I'm not in the industry. I didn't get in this industry just for us to manage a lot of money. I'm very thankful for every family that we take care of and honored that they're here with us. Very humbled over the amount of money that we're able to take care of. But that doesn't mean that we need to be hoarders of that money. I want people to be able to enjoy the retirement that they worked so hard for. And so what we do, Ken, is we help you take that budget. Let's say it's $5,000 a month. And I ask you to divide it into two columns. So, Ken, the first thing I'm going to ask you is how much of that money is fixed expense? Because if you're around at 90, mm-hmm. and remember, if you and your wife make it to age 60, there's a 90% probability that one of the two of you make it to 90. That's 30 years, right? So inflation is a big deal. But I do, so I have to put it into the equation. But I want to know what your fixed expenses are. That's what it costs to, you know, take care of your house, to provide electricity, you know, the things mm-hmm. that have to continue to come.
Right.
What I find is a lot of people's budget is actually social.
True.
And what we know nationally is at age 65, discretionary income begins to flatline and even contract. And in my practice, it's been 68. Right. You can go back and just look at the distribution numbers that people have taken. You know, you're at 68. People either can't get away from a grandkid, they can't get away from a doctor, or the comfy couch is just so comfy, they just don't want to leave. And so what we tend to do is to flatline the distribution part that's for social. So every year it's worth a little bit less depending on inflation, but it lets you take out more money early. And quite frankly, you don't care at 90 if you don't have enough money to fly to Italy. You know, you don't, that's not the deal. You want to do things with your spouse while you're healthy, happy, and able to enjoy life. And so that's the retirement budget. I think it's critical for you to be able to understand and to be able to look and to be able to internalize that. We mix that with a few other concepts that we use, like the retirement practice year, but we'll save that segment for another time. If you've got a question or comment, you can shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com or give us a call at 800-928-4001. Remember, we are fiduciaries. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. If you want to worry about it, that's your business. If you're looking for a fiduciary, that's our business. We'll be right back. Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along, Ken. Hey, what has changed in your life this year that is different than most normal years, Ken?
Well, daughter went to college last fall.
Okay.
Which is first time out of the normalcy of having kids around. Other than that, nothing really. Nothing
pretty
much.
Normal life.
Pretty normal.
Right? So when we look at our process at the Financial Enhancement Group, every year when you come in, we do a family update. And we sit down and we look at your financial vision that says, here's the Dilger family. Here's where it is that you guys are trying to go. Is that still on track? And we make sure that you and your wife agree that the vision are in good shape and you're good to go. And then we start with your life after work and go through the job stuff and the business stuff. And, hey, you're still planning on, you know, going out at age 69, you know, and whatever that year is for you. But whatever the amount of money, the standard of living, which you want to have become accustomed to, we talk about the annual tax plan that if nothing has changed in your life, here are the things that you do need to consider, whether that be bracket bumping or deduction stacking or a backdoor Roth, you know, the different various strategies that we employ. We talk about the investment playbook and what to do with the crazy volatility of the world that we're in, both the good and the bad. The life happens, the good and bad and ugly of life. Sounds like you had one of the good parts. Your mm-hmm. daughter went off to school.
Yep.
And that is both exciting and terrifying.
It is.
You know, it's been there, got that t-shirt. Anyhow. Okay. And then last but not least, of course, is the legacy plan. And we want to make sure that your wishes are still what your documents are saying. Here's what happens. Now, what happens in people's lives, and I'm going to tell you one of the myths, or one, it's not a myth, it's a mistake. When I went through and got my CFP, Ken, here's what I was taught is if something happens to your wife this year, the bad thing, mm-hmm. right? She's gone. There are people who taught me that would say, you don't do anything with your money for 6 months, right? Now, what they ought to say is don't get around somebody who sells insurance products for 6 months. That I'll buy,
right?
They'll tell you not to make any big decisions. Well, here's the problem. If you don't understand how taxes work, then you don't understand this will be your last year married filing jointly. So if your spouse happened to pass away in the last week of December, and we had one that was pretty close, if your spouse happened to pass away in the last week of December, then last year, was your last year to be able to file as married filing jointly, which means when we're talking about those stair steps in taxes, when we talk about it being $19,000 on the first step, now it's $9,500. Right? When it was, when I said it was $78,000 to $79,000, mm-hmm, for the second step, yeah, it's now $38,500. Right? So things change very, very, very quickly when you lose a spouse.
So what you're saying, should go out and get remarried.
I absolutely. I have made that very, very clear on this show a lot more than once. I said, honey, I love you, but I can't do this alone. Right. So that's actually way funny, but anyhow, kid, no, the point is, you want to do things that year before the end of the year that you won't have the opportunity to maybe be able to do again. Roth contributions, those kind of things that you may never qualify for again, especially if you're the high income earner. You know, they're just various things. We had a husband die, I keep saying 4 years ago, I think it was really five now. And when he passed away, she paid 53% more in tax the next year than she paid the year before he died. Yeah, 53% more. So you need to be aware of that. But what I'm going to ask you, and you can get signed up for the tax package. Just go to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Leave us a message and say, hey, I want on the tax package list. We'll send you a reminder the first week in November. And what it's going to essentially say is, any of these things happen to you, your adult age children, or your parents have still living. So you want to look at three generations. Has anybody died? Did anybody get married? Did anybody get divorced? Did anybody lose a job? Did anybody's income change majorly, right? And that can be good or bad. But there's seven or eight different things that we typically look for each year. Was a baby born, right? Are you thinking about college planning and taking advantage of that? And then we have a group of CPA firms that we work with that we find to be quite competent. That we literally work with. So it's not that we know them, we work with them, and there is a difference. Our strategy at the Financial Enhancement Group is not one of cooperation, but one of collaboration. So when you say cooperate, I say, Ken, do this, and Ken does that. When I say collaborate, I say, Ken, we need to do this. How do you want to go about it? Right? And it's a huge difference because you're able to get the strong suit of both sides, both of the people that are in that process, if you will, of, hey, here's what it is that we're trying to accomplish for the good of the families that we are serving. So, like I said, if you want to get on that list, just go to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Happy to have you there. But you're trying to look for things that are irregular occurrences inside of your life. So I made mention of this last week. Somebody asked, hey, what president were you picking on the thing? I don't pick on any president. You can go online, type in presidential tax returns. You can go back, I think it goes back to 1941.
Oh, wow.
You can find them all the way up till our current president. Somehow or another, Donald has figured out how not to show his return. So we'll see if that ever gets changed or fixed. And I will tell you, the reason he didn't want people to see him is because of all the real estate transactions, not because of anything he's done that is illegal or anything else. It's just, there's nothing better than owning real estate, and there's nothing worse than selling real estate. It's a very challenging part of the tax equation. But when I got my CFP back in 1996, I was very interested. I knew that taxes, Ken, were what destroyed everybody. And the first presidential tax return that I read was Bill and Hillary's. And their 1996 1040 is right out there. And it's one of the things that I talk about in the talk. And this is not political at all. They just happened to be in office, you know, when I was in the midst of studying this very, very hard. So do you remember when Hillary wrote the book, It Takes a Village?
Yes.
Yeah. It Takes a Village. She went on the Today Show and said she was going to give away all the money. And she did. Gave every dime of it away.
How much was it?
Didn't lie. $609,000.
Wow.
Gave it all away because she still had miscellaneous expenses on their itemized deductions. I could see that they paid $8,900 to a CPA. Right. So now here you have the first and second in their law class. So bright people. You may not agree with them, but bright people, right? They had an $8,900 CPA, which I have never seen anybody charge that for a 1040 ever in my entire life. And president, you know, not a bad gig, right? If anybody should be able to get this right, they should get it right. She took constructive receipt of the money from the book and then gave the money away.
Uh-oh.
And when you do that, you're only allowed to give away half of your adjusted gross income over the course of a year. And so they actually had a carry forward gift, but they had to pay taxes on the money that year, even though they didn't actually have the money. That led to a painful, extremeful thing. My friends, you've got to pay attention to things that happen this year that are different than normal years. Pay attention now, early and often. Get signed up for our tax planning list, yourlifeafterwork.com. Just go to the website. Let me know that you want it. We'll take a break and be right back. 800-928-4001. Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
We are happy to have you along. Hey, folks, I hope you're enjoying the show. If there's any part of it that you missed, or if there's something that you want to know about, you know, over 20 years of doing radio and 20 plus years of writing a newspaper column, there's a pretty good chance that we've got it somewhere in our database that we can share with you. So if you want to, you can go to our website at yourlifeafterwork.com and just put in the request. If there's something that you missed in this show, we always post it to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. But let me encourage you to get attached to a podcast. You can go to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just type in Consider This Program, subscribe, and then the show will show up on your digital device every single week, and you can listen to it as you want. Ken, are you a podcast guy?
Not much.
Really?
Not much at all.
It probably occupies 80% of my listening time.
Really?
So
does that take over your reading time too, or?
No. I will always read. I enjoy that too much. But if I'm in the car driving, it's usually a podcast of something that I'm trying to learn more about, or understand more, a leadership podcast. There's some great ones that are out there. And our show's out there. So Consider This Program. You can get it. And again, if you've got a question or a comment, you can go to yourlifeafterwork.com. So we use this fifth conversation of the radio show to go over the summary of what we talked about. So the first one was the question that needs to get asked to convert or not to convert. Right, Ken? And we said, as you might remember, that converting your IRA to a Roth IRA is always in your beneficiary's best interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can find a couple situations where it wouldn't be always, but it's close enough to always that I'm comfortable saying it. If you were in a high tax bracket and your beneficiary was in a zero, it may not make sense to convert it. But that's one of the very rare exceptions. If you convert it, you're going to pay taxes. The beneficiary is never going to have to pay taxes. And one thing we didn't hit with that is, please remember, if you do a conversion, you don't have to take a required minimum distribution out of that money ever. Your spouse would not ever have to take that. Your kids would. So even though it's not taxable to them, the RMDs do kick in when they go to inherit the money. We talked about the retirement budget, and Ken and I both fessed up. We have no budgets, right? My argument is, and what people have been very thankful for, I've been told it was a very freeing experience where budgets tend to be very constrictive and frustrating and nobody wants to get into the details. When we put together a retirement budget for people, it's not me or my team saying you only get to spend $50 on shoes, right? Or that you can only go on one vacation a year. It's not one of those. If you only didn't drink coffee one time a year at Starbucks, you would have an extra $2,000 a month at retirement. That is not anything at all what we're doing. What we're trying to attempt to do is to free up the amount of money that you're able to use to enjoy your life after work. We think that's really what it is all about. When we get into the tax package review, every year we do a letter that goes out to all of the families that we serve in November, first week in November, and essentially ask a series of questions. Has anything happened in your life that is different than what happened previously. What we're looking for are opportunities to be able to take advantage of the tax code. And Ken and I talked about a couple of them. You know, if somebody was newly married or if somebody had lost a spouse, those are two big ones. But another one is income variability. So if you are a self-employed person or if it's your last year of work, that's a big one. If you're a high income earner, but you are not high on the hog of a spender, and we've got quite a few frugal people in our lives that are here that make, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a year and are gonna go into your life after work and may only need 60 or 70. That's one of those times when you really want to pay attention to your future, especially if you're charitably inclined. There are ways to pre-fund your charitable contributions for years in the future at a much higher tax bracket than where you were going to be the next year. And again, so many times I think we think about it having to be money that was earned this year to do it. But Ken, let's say you've got $500,000 that's sitting in an account that's after tax, and it's your last year of playing football, right? So you get this big contract, mm-hmm. and you're probably not going to make that much money again for a while, right? And you've got some charities and some things that, you know, the food bank that you like to take care of,
right?
That we did at the Super Bowl, and you want to give them $10,000 a year. Well, if we could go back in our time machine, I would have had you take $100,000 that last year that you worked and put it in a charitable planning device where you got the deduction for it that last year at the highest tax bracket, and then you were able to dole that money out to the food bank over the next 10 years so it wasn't coming out of new capital, but it was coming out at a lower tax income bracket. It's things that people just don't think about. You know, so you've always got to ask, you know, are those things happening? And the offer I made for you guys today on the show is a freebie. If you want to get signed up for that, we are happy to share it. If you just go to our website, yourlifeafterwork.com, tell us that you want the tax planning letter. We will email it out to you when we get to November, and you will have it. Last but not least, we talked about my favorite thing in the tax code. It's the only no-brainer. I don't have to work hard. I don't have to sweat. If you're over 70 and a half and you are charitably inclined and you have IRA money, then you need to understand how qualified charitable distributions work. You can literally give your required minimum distribution directly to a not-for-profit. You got to do it in the right way, Ken. There are rules, right? They will throw the flag, right? There are rules. There's things that you need to understand in the process of life when you go to do this. But it is a no-brainer, and we're happy to walk you through with it. I will tell you, we got letters at the last week of December from very large charitable entities that clearly don't understand the code, right? So be careful. This is stuff that we spend 6 days a year of my life studying required minimum distributions, QCDs, and other tax planning strategies, all as they relate to IRAs. It's part of the Ed Slott group. If you want to know more about that, you can go to irahelp.com. If there's anything that you would like to hear us talk about, please don't hesitate to let us know. You can shoot us an email, consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com, or call us at 800-928-4001. If you remember, we take care of people at the Financial Enhancement Group that don't want to worry about their money so that you don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. If you want to worry about this on your own, that's up to you. If you're looking for a fiduciary, that's up to us. Give us a call, 800-928-4001. Happy to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and talk some things over to see if we can be of service for you. Have an outstanding week.